What's going on, everybody? I hope you're all enjoying the week, because today is hump day, and you know what that means. Here on the Half Hour of Power, Wednesdays means it's the Power Rankings Show. All 32 teams ranked from worst to first, just for you. I'll tell you why each team is where. So let's get right into the hard-hitting action with the Power Rankings. Yeah, baby! Okay, now before I work my way up the power rankings, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. You can send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can add me on Skype, beastchild09. Or of course, if you have a MySpace, add the show, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or visit the almighty website on the web, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. That's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So let's get right into the power rankings. 32nd to first. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back, everyone. This is Beast Child coming at you once again with TWHOP. This is Season 1, Episode 62. Today is Wednesday, October 17th, 2007. We're going to go through the power rankings. I'm going to give you all 32 teams from the bottom to the top. So, let us begin with a team at the bottom of the barrel, still looking for their first victory, the Miami Dolphins at 0-6. Yes, Dolphins are struggling greatly. Why? Well, they can't get very much going on offense, their defense isn't doing much, and yes, they just traded away their star wide receiver, Chris Chambers. Now, obviously, this hasn't affected them, you know, throughout so far this season, because they're going to play their first game without him, but he has been shipped off to San Diego, and I'll talk about those implications when we get to the San Diego Chargers. But the Miami Dolphins are still looking for their first victory, and it doesn't look too good this week against the New England Patriots. So, let's move on to the next team. Still looking for their first victory as well. It is the St. Louis Rams. St. Louis Rams are having some injury problems, but, you know, I mean, I guess you could blame their losses on that. They are 0-6, but you can't entirely do that. They're fourth place in the NFC, of course, but they're 32nd in scoring points. They score 12 points per game. And on defense, you know, I mean, they're just struggling all around, all aspects of the field. This week they play at Seattle, then against Cleveland, a couple of middle-of-the-road teams, and a couple teams that they might have a chance at taking a victory. So, that is going to be something to look out for. Let's move on to the next team. At number 30, a drop from last week for the Atlanta Falcons. They lost last Monday night, and that puts them at 1-5 on the season. The Falcons not doing much on offense. Joe Horn came in as veteran receiver from the Saints. Hopefully that would give him a spark or something, but the loss of Michael Vick is just insurmountable for them at this point. It doesn't look like they're going to make very much of a comeback. Joey Harrington not looking very good. You didn't see very much of Byron Leftwich in Monday's 31-10 loss. These next 2 weeks, they play at New Orleans and San Francisco. And those are, once again, a couple of teams that they could find victories against, but it's going to be tough to play New Orleans. And if they have any chance at turning this season around, it's going to start this week against a division rival. So, that was number 30, the Atlanta Falcons. Now let's go to number 29, the New York Jets. Jets suffered another loss. That puts them at 1-5. And I'm waiting to see Kellen Clements come in for this team because, you know, it would be interesting. It would bring a different spark to this team. Clearly, Chad Pennington isn't getting the job done, and they can't get enough points on the board to use Thomas Jones. I mean, he's a good running back, but they can't run the ball because they don't have the lead, and they're always looking for the lead. Their defense is struggling. If you take a look at number 28th in yards, 27th in pass yards. 23rd in rushing yards, 131 rushing yards per game. That's not what you want to see. They play at Cincinnati and against Buffalo. Once again, two more winnable games. It's going to be tough to slow down Cincinnati's offense, especially on the road, because Cincinnati is a very good home team. But, you know, even their offense, they're third to last in yards per game with 279. And they're going to have to outscore teams because their defense can't get it done. And Chad Pennington can't throw the ball more than, 10 yards? So, you know, that's why they're struggling. Let's move on to the next team. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, my Lord, yes, they are down here. They are this low because the Cincinnati Bengals are 1-4. They're looking for their second victory, and it might come this week against the Jets. But what do they need to work on? They need to work on their off-the-field issues, first of all, because they just lost another guy, Jonathan Joseph, who is their starting cornerback. So now they have Leon Washington and Delta O'Neal back there. And they don't have too much of a task this week against the Jets. But if these guys, we know they have a high-powered offense. Rudy Johnson's been having some injury problems, so once he comes back, we know that they're going to have that. If their defense can tighten up even a little bit, if their defense can be mediocre, I haven't seen a defense this bad in a couple of years. But, I mean, it's just terrible. Straight up. Their offense is 4th in yards. We know they can get that done. But look at their defense. 32nd in points, 30th in yards, 28th in pass yards, 29th in rushing yards. It's terrible. Last week they lost to Kansas City, 27-20. This week they play against the Jets and then against Pittsburgh. They lose to the Jets. This team is really showing us how bad they are. So let's move on to the next team. That was number 28. So we move to number 27. Team that moved up since last week because they got their first victory. It's the New Orleans Saints at 1-4. Yes, are they rejuvenated from that victory? Maybe. Seattle, a tough place to play with the loudest crowd in the NFL. And they went in there. They got the job done. New Orleans Saints, very good job. And, you know, I mean, what more can I say? It looks like they finally got in a groove. Reggie Bush looking very good in that game in the place of Deuce McAllister. I mean, once again, we're still not seeing the between the tackles running, but he's back to what we expected from him last year. And Drew Brees, key stat, 0 interceptions. They scored 28 first half points, nothing in the second half, but that's all they needed. They won 28-17 against the Seahawks. Now they play against Atlanta and at San Francisco. So this team, I don't know, a couple weeks, they could be 3-4 and chasing down Carolina and Tampa Bay in this division. And obviously the Falcons chasing them. But if they can't win this Atlanta Falcons game, you can pretty much seal the deal that the New Orleans Saints are done for 2007. Let's move to number 26, the Buffalo Bills at 1-4. The Bills still looking for their second victory as well, along with these other four one-win teams, and they're going to have to play against Baltimore in Baltimore this week, and we know what happened last time. It was Week 17. Ravens were their blackout. I'll talk about that on Thursday, but look at this offense. 30th in points, 31st in yards, 31st in pass yards, 20th in rush yards. Remember, 32 teams in the NFL, they have three ranks that are 30 or worse. Their offense, their defense, on the other hand, 31st in pass yards, last in yards allowed, and 25th in rushing yards. So, I mean, this team's struggling all around, but they were able to get some victories because of Trent Edwards and Marshawn Lynch. You know, I mean, they can get some, if they can get any kind of jolt on offense, their defense kind of buckles up. We saw them play hard against Dallas. It was a loss, but, you know, they had so many chances to win that game. You really have to blame them for that loss. So, that was the Buffalo Bills. Now let's move to number 25, the Kansas City Chiefs, 3-3. They are right in the middle, smack dab 500, and smack dab in the middle of our country. The Kansas City Chiefs, finally, Larry Johnson kind of broke free, and it wasn't as much the yards. We've seen him get the yards this year, but I saw him running freely against the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Granted, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, but these Kansas City Chiefs tied for first in the AFC West. And, you know, I mean, they're tied with San Diego at 3-3. Pretty abysmal that you're in first place at 500. But now they play at Oakland and against Green Bay. Two winnable games. Green Bay is going to be a bit of a tough game. It's on the road. But, you know, they can rest up while they smack Oakland around. And it'll be interesting to see that. They are 30th on defense, allowing their 30th on offense, rushing the ball. But it looks like they kind of got started, so hopefully you'll see that clicking up. But their defense, 7th against the pass, and that's pretty significant. They're 20th against the rush, but at least they can get something shut down. Unlike the Bengals, they can shut something down on offense, and that might just be what they need. So now let's move to the next team. It's the Oakland Raiders. Yes, division rivals 2-3. Now the Oakland Raiders, okay, I said that they could, you know, kind of smack around to Oakland this week, but let me talk about Oakland. These guys are making very big improvements. Okay, granted, LT ran for 4 touchdowns against them, but that's what LT does. LT is LT. We just haven't seen him in this past year. The Oakland Raiders are really showing improvements, and their defense, once again, had another interception for a touchdown. Their defense is good. I mean, the stats don't show it. But if this defense comes to play, it'll fire up the offense, and they can get some victories. They do have 2 victories, 2 in a row, against Cleveland and at Miami. So, I mean, we know that they can beat up on teams that aren't as good. But they play against Kansas City and at Tennessee. A couple tough games for them. I could see, if we see this team playing hard, they might win one of those 2 games, maybe Kansas City. But let's move on to the next team, number 23 in the power rankings, the Chicago Bears at 2-4. Yes, they are coming down. Or coming down, going up. I don't know. Whatever. They're going down the rankings because their quarterback play. Because all they have on their team is Devin Hester. That's all they have. Their defense is mediocre, but Devin Hester gives them such good field positions that he alone has won 2.5 games. I mean, they lost this last game to Minnesota, but Devin Hester had 2 touchdowns. Imagine the type of field position that you get from a team that just kicks the ball out of bounds. You get it at the 40, or they kick it to Devin Hester, he takes it for a touchdown. Offense doesn't even have to get out on the field. If the Chicago Bears could just find a quarterback that doesn't throw picks, they could be a good team. We saw them last year go to the Super Bowl, but I mean, they don't have as good a defense. They're kind of banged up, and their running game without Thomas Jones isn't looking good. Cedric Benson not getting the job done there. So that is why they're struggling. Now, what can they do? These next 2 games they play against Philadelphia and Detroit. I don't know if they can win either of those, because it's going to be tough. Detroit's a division rival. They're going to play them hard. So that's the Chicago Bears. Now we go to the Arizona Cardinals. Number 22, 3-3 in the desert. Cardinals not looking good. Quarterback problems all over the place. Running game, good. Defense, good. But quarterback is the most important position in any sport in the United States. And the Cardinals are struggling at that place, so they're going to continue to struggle. Let's move on to number 21, Denver Broncos, 2-3. They moved down since last week. Champ Bailey and Dre Bly, very good cornerbacks. They have a good defense, I must say. But, you know, I mean, if you can't get the turnovers, if you can't stop people, you're not going to win games. This week they play against Pittsburgh, coming off their bye, and so is Pittsburgh. Both teams are coming off their bye. It's Sunday Night Football. It's going to be an interesting game to watch. We're going to learn a lot about both of these 2 teams. So now, let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings at number 20. Ooh, the Vikings. Okay, what to make of this team? They have Adrian Peterson, what looks like the rookie of the year right now, pending an injury or just a huge drop-off in performance. And the number 1 run D in the league. I mean, you have to admit, you got to give them that. But everything else, I mean, maybe their kicker other than that, but their offense still struggling. Tavares Jackson not in there, you know, he's in and out. Their passing game isn't going to be anything anyway. And their pass defense isn't looking too sharp. I'm looking at Tony Romo, giving him a good eye on my fantasy team this week going up against Minnesota. But Minnesota 2-3, they moved up since last week, and I expect them to keep playing well. Now let's go to number 19, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, what do you make of this team? Well, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat and lose the teams they're supposed to lose, and it's those middle teams. It's those teams that they kind of, you know, match up against that you don't know. Are we going to see the 56-point Eagles, or are we going to see the Eagles that got sacked 12 times? You know, you really don't know what to expect with that team, so that's what you want to look out for. Brian Westbrook, Donovan McNabb, can they get in rhythm? Now we go to number 18 here in the Bay Area. It's the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, significant drop-off from last week, number 18. And why is that? The San Francisco 49ers were on bye, but before that, they were still struggling. They couldn't put up points. You take a look at their offense, 32nd in yards and 31st in points, 32nd in pass yards. They can't get anything going on offense. Their defense, I mean, it's good. It's led by rookie Patrick Willis. But last time we saw them on the field, they scored one touchdown against the Ravens. Now we'll see them at the Giants coming off a bye. That's going to be an interesting game to see if Alex Smith is going to... Or not Alex Smith. If Trent Dilfer is going to play well. And if Frank Gore can get the ball going, and if Frank Gore can get it going, that pretty much opens everything else. Then they have New Orleans. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They've lost 3 straight games, and they're at 2-3. And that's why they are where they are. Now, number 17, we have the Cleveland Browns. A huge jump from last week, and they're going to continue to go up. They're at 3-3, and the Browns are surprising a lot of people, including me. And, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll stop surprising me, because I think that they really are this good. Granted, they've been beating up on bad teams. Miami, they beat, and 41-31. And the Patriots they lost to. I mean, they are who we thought they were, is basically. But they're doing some shellacking on the bad teams. Speaking of bad teams, they play the St. Louis Rams coming up, and they're coming off a bye. So expect a nice little game for Cleveland there. They're on bye this week. Then they go to St. Louis. Then they go to Seattle. So we could see some good performance from the Browns. Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn's going to have to stay on the bench because Derek Anderson playing very well, finding Braylon Edwards, and you know they've gotten their running game going even without Jamal Lewis. Now we go to Seattle, where the Seahawks sit at 3-3, 500. They're at number 16. And what is this team? This is a team. Goes into San Francisco, 23-3, they kill him. Then, next week, 21-0 on the road against Pittsburgh, and that was just terrible. Then they come back home, and they play against the winless Saints, and they allow 42 straight points from the time that they kicked off in Pittsburgh until they finally scored at home against New Orleans. Over a span of 2 games, they allowed 42 unanswered points. The Seahawks, what are they doing? I don't know, and they're going to stay in the middle of the pack or, you know, start to drop until I see some change in this team. Now number 15 is the Detroit Lions at 3-2. Lions, we're going to learn a lot this week against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a good defense. Can the Lions show up on defense and kind of hold Joey Galloway and Jeff Garcia? They're not too big of a passing threat, but we're going to learn a lot about the Lions, and they're going to kind of find their place in the power rankings and kind of sit there until they either drop off or do well, because this is where I think the Lions are. I picked them at 8-8 preseason. Now the Houston Texans at 3-3. They've had some injury problems. I think they can be a top 10 team, and I think they will be once they get their star Andre Johnson back. I think Amon Green makes a big difference on this team. He hasn't been at full strength. Matt Schwab has been doing a great job. This defensive line that they've drafted, everyone ragged on him for picking Mario Williams first, and clearly it didn't show it in Vince Young and Reggie Bush last year, but that's why everyone says 3 years to see if a draft was successful. Now we're seeing a monster of a defensive line. Now we go to Tennessee, number 13, the Titans, 3-2. They are looking very good. Now, granted, they're coming off a 3-point loss, but I think Vince Young gives them that extra 3 points. However, Vince Young is the Madden curse, so don't expect him to come back. I mean, don't expect him to come back for the rest of the season. He may come back from this injury. He probably will, but you know, I mean, you gotta expect him to go in and out with that Madden curse, and many of you may be laughing, but I am dead serious. The Madden curse is for real. Now we go to the San Diego Chargers, 3-3, number 12. Chargers. Ooh. LT shows up, 28 points, 14 allowed, and one of those was on a Phillip Rivers pick, so they really allowed 7 points. And 28-7, granted, it's the Oakland Raiders. They like to play him. They're at home. But San Diego Chargers, if LT shows up, they win the game. It's that simple. They were something like 30-0 if LT is over 150 yards, something like that. And it's pretty ridiculous. So if LT shows up, they're good. If they don't, then they'll stay out of the top 10 in the power rankings. To Washington, another thing about the San Diego Chargers with Chris Chambers, it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be nice to see the San Diego Chargers finally have a bit of a passing threat. I don't feel like Antonio Gates is a passing threat. I feel like he's good enough that he makes up for two receivers because they got to double him. And I feel like he poses some sort of passing anything. But I don't feel like he's a threat. Chris Chambers may make a threat because the team's going to be worried about LT and obviously Antonio Gates. Now they're also going to have to contain Chris Chambers. Let me tell you, that was a big jump from the winless Miami Dolphins to the San Diego Chargers. Now we go to the Washington Redskins. Now we really go there. Washington, D.C., 3-2 at number 11 in the power rankings, the Redskins. What's going on? I mean, they could have won the game in Lambeau Field, but Santana Moss fumbles the ball, and 67 yards later, Charles Woodson scores a touchdown, and that was the end of the game. They couldn't do anything in the fourth quarter, and, you know, Jason Campbell, every game he's developing, every game I see improvements. I like Jason Campbell a lot, probably like him more than a lot of other people. If Clinton Portis and Liddell Betts can pose any sort of running threat, I feel like this team can you know, show up, and they can dominate. We saw them 37-3 coming off a bye against Detroit. They can be that kind of team, and they will make it into the top 10 if they play like that. Now we get into the top 10. The power rankings, the best 10 of the 32. New York Giants at 4-2. All these teams have 4 wins or more. 4-2, New York Giants. They have a defensive line. That defensive line is going to mess with your quarterback. You're going to have to run the ball against this team. If you can get into the secondary running the ball, then you have a good chance of winning against this team. If you don't, Eli Manning will find Plaxico Burress at least once. And, you know, Brandon Jacobs, Ruben Drones, Derek Ward looking like a three-headed monster. Not pretty. The more I talk about this team, the higher I want to put them on the rankings. And so now I move to number 9, Carolina Panthers. And now that I've talked about the Giants, I might want to put them ahead of the Panthers. But Vinny Testaverde comes in, and, you know, I mean, this is just something to take from the Carolina Panthers. I don't care about Vinny Testaverde, you know. I mean, okay, that's nice. I like to see him out there. He's a good quarterback. I love him. I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. But when a guy can come in, you know, what is it, half a week? He wasn't even playing football a week before the game. And he comes in, he learns about half the playbook and wins the game. That's not, I mean, part of that's him, but you gotta give some props to the Carolina Panthers for rallying around this guy, for winning the game with a quarterback that they didn't have, and also that shows how bad David Carr is. So now we move to number 8. My Baltimore Ravens finally made it back into the top 10. 4-2. I don't know, this defense, I mean, it's middle of the road. I mean, I guess you could say they make plays, they get turnovers when they have to, but I really want to see them clamp down and just turn it on. Now Chris McAllister is going to be out for something like 3 weeks. He'll be back after the bye for the Monday night game against Pittsburgh. That is bad news. Corey Ivey going to be playing. Samaria Roll already having some problems, so that's not good news for the Ravens. We'll see what they can do this week against Buffalo. Not too much of a threat there against a rookie quarterback. Now we go to number 7, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're at 4-2. We're going to learn a lot about them this week against Detroit. Is that defense for real? Can they shut down a legitimate top 10 offense, maybe top 5 passing game? And can Joey Galloway and Jeff Garcia continue to hook up? Can they use Michael Bennett, who they picked up from the Kansas City Chiefs for a couple draft picks? Can they use him in the offense, along with Ernest Graham? Because, you know, they've lost Cadillac Williams and Michael Pittman for the season. It's going to be key that they have some sort of running game to keep that clock moving. Jacksonville Jaguars at number 6, and I want to move them up even higher than this. I want to move them above the next two teams you'll see, but I need to see some more passing game. I mean, David Garrard is one of two quarterbacks that has thrown 0 interceptions this season, but, you know, I need to see some bigger threat. They always have Maurice Jones-Drew, who's a home run hitter. But if you get a good defense that won't allow that to happen, they can't really generate too much. Their offense, their defense, top 5, maybe top 3. Easily. But if their offense can get something going, I feel like this team could really compete with the Colts for this division. They've only lost one game. Only one game behind the Colts. Now we move to the Packers. NFC team, number 5. They are 5-1. And I don't know, this team just always seems to win. I want to put them lower because they're an NFC team because they haven't done too much. But they always seem to pull it out in the end. Their only victory against the Bears, and that was Brett Favre being Brett Favre. And I guess you could say that is their only downside. I mean, Brett Favre is their upside and their downside. They're going to give him the ball. They're going to say win the game. He's going to win it or lose it. Majority of the time, he's going to win it. We see that they're 5-1. But they can't get a running game going. They have to rely on him too much. It might not always be good for the Green Bay Packers. Now, number 4. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, they dropped since last week from number 3 to number 4. Obviously, because they lost to the Patriots. You can't blame them too much for that. But, you know, I mean, Tony Romo, he's Tony Romo. And, you know, from a couple of sources I've heard, from a couple of accounts, one of them from a show and one of them from an email I got from Breaking News, Tony Romo left the game in the sling. That doesn't mean too much. He's going to play next week, but we don't know if he's going to be 100%, and I'll give you updates on if he practices on Friday. So keep an eye out for that, mainly for fantasy or if you're considering taking Minnesota over the Cowboys. So that is number four. Now we move to number three, the top three teams, the best of the best, cream of the crop, the top echelon of teams, and note, they're all AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they are 4-1. This week they play against Denver on a Sunday night game in Invesco Field at Mile High. So, what are you going to want to look for in this game? I mean, it kind of seems like the preview show, but we're going to learn a lot about both teams. We're going to learn, and both teams coming off a bye, so it's an equal advantage. I guess you could say that Denver's playing at home, but let's just hit this, okay? Champ Bailey and Dre Bly and John Lynch, are they really the best secondary in the league? You know, if they were, then we'd see the Broncos better than 2-3. And also, can Jay Cutler win against a good defense? You know, it's not all him, and they are missing Travis Henry, but can he find the running game? Can he find those little key plays that are going to win them the game in the end? And can Mike Shanahan call timeout on time when they're kicking the game-winning kick? If you know what I mean. So that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now number two, the Indianapolis Colts. They were on bye this week. There isn't too much to talk about them. You know who they are, and they are who we thought they were. They're top three offense in the NFL, and I'll talk about the Patriots offense in a second. But, you know, their defense playing very well. They won a game without Bob Sanders, without Marvin Harrison, without Joseph Addai against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a good defense. And so we know that they can play. We know that they're not one of those teams that just has all the studs and that they just do their thing, you know. They are actually a three-dimensional team that can win the game. But I'll talk about them more later. They're playing a tough defense this Monday night in Jacksonville, and that's going to be a road game. So that's going to be something you're going to watch. It's going to be closer than a lot of people think. But Indianapolis Colts 5-0, not much to say there. Now I want to talk about the Patriots. Number one in the power ranking, 6-0 undefeated. Tom Brady, 21 touchdown passes on the season. More than anyone in NFL history for the first six games. Before that, the record was 20. He has 21. And is this offense the best offense we've ever seen in the NFL? It very well may be. People refrain from using the word ever, but I found myself using that a lot this season with the Patriots. And Randy Moss, hey, I don't know. He's probably not as good as Jerry Rice, you know, granted. But Tom Brady, is he one of the best quarterbacks of all time? No doubt. If he wins another Super Bowl, I feel like he's the best quarterback of all time, hands down. He may be right now. But you look at, a lot of people bring up Joe Montana, the 72 Dolphins, the Joe Montana Niners, you know, those guys. I don't know that Joe Montana had a more accurate arm than Tom Brady. He probably had more, I'm not going to say probably, he probably had as much vision as Brady, but Brady's done it with no one, and now that he has weapons, this may be the biggest and best offense in the NFL, and they've been doing it without their starting running back, Lawrence Maroney. Last week they did it with an injured Sammy Morris. They have Dante Stallworth, Wes Welker, Benjamin Watson, Mike Vrabel catching touchdowns. I mean, that kind of pisses me off sometimes. I mean, you don't really have to rub it in. Okay, we know you're good. You don't need to throw touchdown passes to your linebackers. But, you know, and hey, if this defense tightens up, we saw them allow 27 points to the Cowboys, which was the best offense in the NFL statistically. But, you know, they're kind of banged up, and now they have Richard Seymour and, Rodney Harrison back in the flow of things. If these guys can turn it up, this may be the best offense in the best team in the NFL. And if they can get past the Colts in November, the first week of November, if they can get past the Colts 16-0, who knows? Hey, who knows? So, that has been the power rankings once again. Miami Dolphins, St. Louis Rams, Falcons, Jets, Bengals, Saints, Bills, Chiefs, Raiders, Bears, Cardinals, Broncos, Vikings, Eagles, 49ers, Browns, Seahawks, Lions, Texans, Titans, Chargers, Redskins, Giants, Panthers, Ravens, Buccaneers, Jaguars, Packers, Cowboys, Steelers, Colts, Patriots. Oh, I did it. And so, with that, thank you for listening. This has been Season 1, Episode 62, the Week 7 Power Rankings, October 17th, 2007. I have been Beast Chubb. You've been the beautiful audience. Thank you for listening. Check out the website. Peace! Yeah, that was it. It's over. I'm sorry, but I'd like to thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of power with Beast Child. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. If you want to get in contact with the show, send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com or visit the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So, with that, I gotta get out of here, but just remember, it's it may be fantasy football, but TWHOP keeping it real. Peace out! Half hour of power.googlepages.com.